Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back there to Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here in the Mobile AOC Studios with my brother Devin.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So yeah, we're in the car. We're heading down to Blade Show in Atlanta 2023, and we figured we would record the podcast while we're heading down. So Devin, what do you got for us today?
That's why I love road trips, dude. It's like doing something without actually doing anything.
Nice.
Bling, blah, 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 bling, blah.
I wonder if that's is that like the guy from what's it called?
No.
All right.
No, it's not.
John, almost famous.
John Green.
John Green. No.
I don't know. Tom Green's brother.
That's good though. It's like. It does give you that mindset of you're doing something because it's taking a long time.
But you're not doing anything.
You just got to figure out ways to make the time go by.
Like record a podcast.
Right.
So we're, what, 3 hours in?
We left at 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 4 hours.
Dang.
Math on the podcast. Yeah, so 4 hours in, a little bit, maybe just, yeah, right about 4 hours in, maybe a little bit less. And we've got about, what we got, let's see. According to the GPS, we have 7 hours and 42 minutes to go.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I know. So we figured we record the podcast now, kill an hour of time talking about stuff.
Yeah, we have the DJI mics. We each have a DJI mic.
Yep.
Which is not normally what we record the podcast with, but what we do the YouTube channel with.
Yeah.
But I've never been mic'd up with one, and I was trying to put it on a minute ago. I was like, oh, I've never actually worn one of these. And the right when I said that, the magnet flicked off and went under the seat.
It's a no man's land.
Yeah. So there's a magnet on the back of these mics, and
now underneath the seat, we'll have to find. Like, oh, we'll never see that again. Fortunately, there's also a little clip. So we just clipped it on, kind of clipped onto our seat belts. Yeah. Safety first.
So there's if there's a lot of road noise, it's just how it's going to be. Sorry if it's annoying.
Yep. But we thought it would be fun to record on the way down. So obviously, it's coming out a little bit later than typically for our podcast, but it'll still come out today on Friday if you're listening. Hopefully we have some viewers or some listeners, because I feel like 90% of our listeners are people who would go to Blade if they could. And then probably 70% of those will be at Blade Show. And so since it's 10:30 right now and the doors open at 11 for the regular people, unlike us who are the special people, if we were there, we would get in at 10 o'clock with our cap badges.
Those have to be pretty easy to get. Well, like, I kept seeing on Instagram people offering them. Like, hey, do you want...
Yeah, no, you said that to me. You were like, did you get a deal? And I was like, I don't know about any deals. So I don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, yeah, like, apparently the people who have booths have deals. So I sent a message out to Dennis Tyrell and also to Jordan from JD Knifeworks. Got their cap passes, which I think, I forget what that's, what it stands for, CAP. Cool as penises. But yeah, so we got a good deal on that. You save a little bit of money. And we also will get to have a lanyard with a hanging tag with our names and our channel name.
Now here's the thing. Do cool people wear the lanyards or do cool people not wear the lanyards?
Well, if you have, like if you're a press or if you're a company, you have a lanyard with your with the company name on it.
Oh.
So when it like asked for the cap passes, it said like your name and your company name.
Oh, maybe.
So I said the Art of Grasmanship. So that'll be pretty sweet. Yeah. Either that or we'll look like a goofballs. Everyone else has like these like maybe magnetized pin on me badges.
Others or ours are really big for some reason. They're like full paper size.
8.5 by 11 sheets of paper.
You have to wear them.
It did say that. It was like you need to you have to wear your badge.
I would so to prepare for this, I watched about 30 Blade Show videos of all varying styles and quality.
Right.
And I saw this, the craziness of people going in early.
Right.
And like running through and being first in line. And I guess they're probably going in right about now.
Yeah.
But they all had their hands up in like a fist, like a raised fist.
What?
Yeah. And I think that was to show their wristbands. As they ran through.
Ah, right.
I was like, what are they doing? And then everyone in line started doing it. Like, whatever you call that.
It's like Black Power.
Right on, Black Power. I was like, there's one black guy in that line.
Yeah, right.
But.
Yeah, I've seen those clips of that. They're always wild. People, like, running in with their backpacks.
Right.
Like, really? Are knives really that cool? I mean, knives are cool, but, like, and is the deal really that good? You know, that you get?
Like, I think it's not the deal. I think it's, it might be the deal.
But more
I
like
think it's the chance to get like custom pieces from your favorite people.
Right, like exclusivity.
Right. Right. Because if you're a collector of these things, you can say, there's only one of this, or they only made five.
Right, Blade Show special.
Right, right, right. And you may probably do get a couple $100 off. Not that that's going to sway your $2,000 knife purchase.
Right.
Like, babe, don't worry, it's only $1,900. They'll be fine.
Down from 22.
Yeah, it's, I gotta get it. I'm saving money.
It's a Blade Show special. I'm gonna buy it anyway, so. Yeah, you know, there are some people who spend a lot of money on custom knives. And a lot of, like, knife makers who spend money on custom knives, which, to me, is just ridiculous. Like, why did I become a knife maker? Because I don't want to buy other people's knives. I want to not spend any money and just spend all my time making my own knife.
Yeah.
But no, I understand the excitement, but yeah, it's a little silly. You know, you got these grown men with backpacks on and shorts with their socks pulled up.
I'm going to have a backpack and maybe shorts. I won't be running.
I won't be running. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the difference. You'll be walking.
I'll be walking
like
cool.
A cool guy.
I don't run for anybody.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone needs a hobby.
No, but we'll be down there probably, let's see, let's go back to the GPS. It says we should get there at 6:07 p.m. That's to our,
oh man,
that's to the Cobb Galleria where Blade Show is being held, but we'll actually go to our hotel, which Devin snagged us some sweet hotel tickets right across the street.
Yeah, did I tell them?
I don't know, I don't think so.
Yeah, so we waited to the last minute. We're like, yeah, we'll go.
Yeah, it was like back in January. I'm like, all right,
a month passed. Yeah, we'll go.
I was like, all right, I'll buy them.
And then another month passed. I'm yeah. like, hey, man, we have to do it. And then two more weeks pass.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm buying them now.
And then I was like, I don't know, like, maybe I'm not feeling it because it's, like, really busy at the end of the school year. And, and you're like, no, I got to go. I'm so excited now. But, yeah, so. But
yeah, and and I was pressuring you to earlier on because I knew I wasn't going to go to Blade Show. But I couldn't tell you that.
Maker Camp.
Right. I knew I wasn't going to Maker Camp.
Right.
I couldn't tell you that because I would have gave away that Caitlin was pregnant.
Why would you not be going?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so sure enough, last minute, on the Blade website, it'll show you, like, venue-connected hotels.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And, like, buy them through here, and you're guaranteed to whatever have these dates.
Yeah. And you had already, like, looked around and seen, like, that there wasn't anything available. So you were like, okay, well, we can get a hotel down the road, you know.
Yeah.
A mile down. Like, we're whatever. Like, well, we'll just get whatever it is. We'll just get a hotel wherever within 10 minutes of Blade Show and get a good deal wherever. So.
And then, I was like, oh, well, we can't get the deals anymore. So we'll just go far away. And then I was like, well, let me check one more time. And I popped back on the website like a day later and there was one like hotel room or one spot open.
Right
across the street.
Sweet.
I was like, yes.
And what is, are we like sharing a twin bed?
Yeah.
Is it two beds?
We're sharing a broom closet. No, it's a king and a pullout.
Ah.
So I guess we'll have to flip for it.
Yeah. Either that or we'll go sleep on a king. we're kings. King and a pullout. Oh, a pullout's a dagger. Pullout?
What?
Yeah, we'll be
flip for it.
Yeah. We'll sleep head to toe. But your genitals still
light. Genitals still light up. so that's,
and is it like it's right across the highways from the Cobb Gallery? Is it? Yeah. Is there like a walkway, like a pathway? Do we have to walk like 5 miles to get around?
No, the pathway's right there next to our parking lot.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, right on.
And then I think there's a bridge over the highway into the thing, and that's where it is.
Nice. Yeah, I know that. I think we were talking about it with Dennis Tyrell. And he mentioned that, like, where he's staying with his buddy Jordan, Jared. He said they're in, like, the next hotel over. So, like, we're, like, closer than them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens when you wait to the last minute. Somebody has to, like,
it pays bail off. Out.
Someone bailed out. We got in there.
We didn't learn our lesson this
for
time.
For a cool $200 a piece. Which is not too bad, you know.
No, not for 2 nights.
Yeah, and, you know, we're driving down, so we'll save some money. Like, now that we're flying, we won't save time, but we do save money.
Yeah.
What's your time worth? And see, that's the road trip. We get to do something, but not really do anything. Yeah, it's fun. It's exciting. And, yeah, so you bought the hotel, and then I went online. I got the tickets, and we ended up saving $50 by getting the deal. So thank you to...
I still don't know where the money lines up on that. Who owes who what.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But we can talk about it later, but it's like, well, there's, you're paying for that, then I have to give you that, and then this is negative on that.
Yeah. Right. So to figure out who paid what. Like, I've paid $100 and you've paid $400, whatever. Or no, didn't we already do it, though? Didn't we already figure it out in the last... AOC payover.
I was like, how much?
No, we did because I said how much, you know, and I totaled the whole thing and I divided it by two, and then I figured out how much I had already paid and how much I needed to pay you extra to get up to my amount, and so then I sent you that extra money. So I think we're square on Blade Show money.
All right.
At least that's what I'm gonna tell him. He's like, all right, sounds good.
Sure.
Caitlin's like, hey, why are we like in the hole by $14?
Well.
She keeps an eye on a lot.
Doesn't say we're so square. I don't know. I didn't look.
She's like, it's like a rectangle. It's not a square.
That's not square.
That's not square. Yeah, but that'd be good. I'm excited. And I just sold a knife. So I have a little bit extra cash that came from, you know, that I wasn't expecting. So that's good.
Sell a knife, buy a knife.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we'll see. So it's actually a really good gauge because Devin, we talked about ideas for like doing a video for Blade. So we'll be shooting some stuff and we'll see where it takes us. But Devin thought his idea was maybe to do a like buying a custom knife, because I've never actually bought a custom knife or like, you know, a handmade knife.
Yeah, I think, or even if it's not hand, well, I thought a good title would be buying my first real knife.
I bought knives before.
But do like real in quotes. Because if you're like a knife collector and you just, everyone that's bought like a little pocket knife.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. As a knife maker.
Yeah, but you've never bought someone else's knife,
no,
right?
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I like the real knife thing, just because it's like I have a Leatherman, you know, and that's a real knife.
Yeah, but
me.
That's a tool. That's not a knife.
It's a knife. It's got a knife. I mean, that's what I use for a pocket knife, and I used to buy Kershaw's, which I really liked. So it's a little demeaning to all of my knives that I have bought.
That's why you put in quotes. Some people would say.
Some people would say. I don't know. But yeah, so that's actually kind of in my mind, my budget anyway, for if I were to buy a knife at Blade Show, would be in the less than $200 range. Like, it's got to be there, because if I'm spending over that, then for one, I just don't have that money to spend. But, you know, it seems like, why am I a knife maker?
You know? Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's not about buying the knife because I want to use a knife. Like, I make knives because I want to use knives. I would buy a knife because it's a really cool knife that I think is worth the money. It's like buying artwork.
Well,
you know, like, I'm an artist, but I'll still buy someone's piece if it's a really cool piece because it's something that,
but that's,
you know, I like.
The thing is, though, you can't get a custom knife for under $200. I think made by one of the makers there.
Right.
Unless it's a simple, very simple knife.
Right, yeah.
So you're going to be getting one from the bigger companies, right?
Possibly, yeah, and right.
Some maybe type of simple mechanical style.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it'll depend, you know, because it depends on the knife. You know, like, the type of knives that I like to use are, you know, smaller knives for, like, carving and stuff. And, you know, a 4-inch blade is more than I would ever really use, I think, for most things. You know, I have, you know, when I go backpacking and stuff, I bring a hatchet, you know, I bring an axe, so, like, I don't need it to chop something down. I need it to process, you know, firewood and cut rope and, you know, do whatever, carve things. So
it's like you're an EDC thing where you kind of want it
small,
exactly, at the ready.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, if I were going to buy a knife, it would be, I mean, that's also the reason why I like Pukos, right? Because Pukos are like the Finnish or Swedish everyday worker knife. You know, it's fairly simple, styled, small blade. And that's the things that I like the most. That's when I see people's work, that's usually what I'm mostly drawn to. And so that's probably what I would look for. And, you know, maybe I'll get a deal on a fixed blade, but yeah, maybe not me. I'll be looking at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of knives. So
I was going to say, if you can't find a cool knife here,
yeah,
you will never find a cool knife. Like,
I will make my own knives. But yeah. Speaking of making knives, I am bringing along the Journey knife, the AOC Journey, which is the knife that I kind of, after years of making knives and looking at other knives, kind of come to the conclusion of what I liked and what I wanted to make as my first prototype of my knife, my original design, to like use and to have, and, you know, and then have a kind of a starting place.
To have and to hold.
And so last night I was down in the shop and cleaning it up, because it's had like some, you know, some tarnish and stuff on the blade just from being used, because I use it all the time. And just a little bit of like scratches and dirt on the handle. So I was cleaning it up and polishing it. I was using a Scotch-Brite belt to polish up the blade to clean it off. And I was like, well, I'll use this on the spine as well to clean up the spine going down around. It's a fixed blade knife. And the Scotch-Brite belt left metal dust ground into the white liners. So it took me like an extra like 20 minutes to like hand sand that off. So using like 500 grit sandpaper and just like sanding it. That's what you called me.
Yeah, I called you last night trying to, because another thing we can discuss is the new video out.
Oh, yeah.
Which we, I didn't do it at all. I procrastinated to finish it. And then, of course, like normal, then you rush to get it done in like a few days.
Right.
The whole thing.
So we were getting ready to put that out, or we put it out today. So if you're listening to this podcast on Friday, June 2nd, then the video is out, wooden sword video. Yeah, so you called me and we were chatting about that.
Trying to get a thumbnail.
Yeah, and I'm like, I just have my phone, video call, so I have my phone sitting on the table and I'm like working and you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to clean up this knife. I mean, I was cleaning up and I was buffing it and I was kind of, it has a brass Corby bolt, so I was like sanding those because they get scratches on them, and I was also sanding and buffing up the handle material,
right,
which is black dyed stabilized curly maple that Brian House stabilized and sent to us a while back. It's really cool. So that was those handle scales. That was also one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it, because I want to show Brian that knife with his scales on it. Yeah, so I brought that along, which I thought would be fun, and because that's kind of the one that I am passionate about, and I've actually really enjoyed having it and really enjoy the design about it. And there are some things that I would change, that I'll change probably on the next iteration, but I was unsure if, if it's got a faceted octagonal handle, and I wasn't sure if, I like the look of it and I like the feel of it and I like it for culinary knives, but I wasn't sure how well it would work or feel for a bushcraft knife, something that I'm carving a lot more with. But I've been really happy with that. It hasn't, I can carve and, do woodwork and stuff with it, and it doesn't leave like hot spots or whatever.
But hot spots.
Hot spots on my hands.
Cat's ass.
Where you get
where I get a lick after you're done.
Stop it.
Hot spots. You'll be using the journey again.
Stop licking. I got a red spot on my hand. But yeah, so happy with that. So I brought that along. And you have the build along knife.
Yeah. Nice. Which I wasn't actually sure where it was. I was like, what knife is it?
Yeah.
Because I remember doing a video for a knife and then Dustin giving me the knife. Right. So it's a little dirty.
That's not bad, though.
It still looks good.
It looks pretty clean. This one also has the white scales. The liners on mine are a little thicker. They're like, I think this is like an eighth or maybe like 5/32 or something, and mine's like a little bit more, maybe a eighth or whatever. But these look clean. Mine had some dirty spots, but this is nice and clean, and the spine is pretty good. The blade's got like a little bit of wear on it, but not much. Yeah, yours is pretty clean. Yours is like just slightly dirtier than mine after I cleaned it. But that looks really good. That handle is nice. That's Bacody and white liners. White liners are really nice. I like white liners on knives.
Yeah.
Especially with anything that's like a dark wood, because the steel, although it's bright, it's a lot darker than the white. So you get a nice like transition between the darker wood and then the white liner and the steel of the full tang. So
he's nice.
Yeah, and it's a nice little pop of color. Oh, I did also bring, so I brought two other knives. I brought the Woodlore clone with the sheath. That's nice. We got a lot of comments about that with like the glow liners, which that has, which is my original idea. I will say that always. Glow-in-the-dark liners, which no one did until that video came out. So I brought that one, and then I also brought my little Sloyd Puko, which is has a rhombic blade, so it's not, the flats on the blade before the bevel aren't parallel. They taper in, so the spine's narrower, the middle of the blade is the widest, and then the actual edge is the obviously narrowest. You get a kind of a diamond shape a little bit, and that has Osage orange and antler, deer antler, and then brass the brass cymbals, like from drum cymbals.
Oh yeah.
Is on the, well, as the bolster and the end cap, and that's like a through tang. It's a hidden tang, but a through tang peened over at the end. That's a really nice knife. I'm actually like really happy with it. It's small, but it's a really nice little carver, which is what I wanted it for. I do it spoon carving or wood carving. And that one wasn't a video, but I really liked the way it turned out, so I brought that too. And I have just like a little cap sheath for it that just like covers the blade. So threw those in my bag last night. I thought about bringing Nicole's knife that I made for her, which is our very first video ever on YouTube. But then I like pulled it out of the sheath. And it's so chunky and like, I don't know, it's just not the nicest, it's not the greatest knife. So I did not. I was like, nope, I'm not going to bring that one. Although, you know, it still turned out pretty nice. And it had like the sheath is nice and nice and stuff. And it's got some file work on the spine, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I brought those along. So I'll be wearing the Journey knife and it's nice and cleaned up. So it looks nice, sharpened.
These Virginia roads are loud. I can switch over to this.
Oh, okay.
I can see the waveform. It's getting louder.
Oh, well.
So we'll do our best to
talk up and
speak above it.
So everyone listening to the podcast just has to listen to it while you're on the road.
It
just blends right in. road noise is really loud.
Just past Natural Bridge.
Oh,
all right. Stop there for an hour.
Yes, we're on 81, headed over from Baltimore. Out 70 through Frederick, out Chris Cash's way from Mount Phillip Metalworks. So you know, he'll be down there. Roy Scott, Vintage Axe Works. Listen to them on the Axe and Iron podcast talking about Blade Show and how Will Stelter convinced Chris to go. He said, I don't want to go to a Blade. I don't care about knives. Like, how can you be a blacksmith and not care about knives? I don't know. It just seems like it's, you know, other than tools and metalwork, and that's what blacksmiths do. They make weapons. You know,
well,
like
earlier you said, how can you be that excited about knives?
How can you? Oh, well, about running to like get a, you know, running into Blade Show really early to go back. I didn't say how can be. I said,
I think that's what you said.
I think you're wrong.
You said I hate knives. They're stupid. And now the people who like them are also stupid. So come see me at Blade Show. Yeah. We'll fight.
Yeah. So, but. Chris will be there. We got a whole bunch of people I know. I mentioned Jordan and Tyrell. They'll be there. Dennis, they'll be there. Brian House, Brian Cohn, a whole bunch of guys from, you know, Work For It podcast. They'll be there. Yeah, lots of cool people. So I'm excited. We'll go and we'll get down there this evening. Go to our hotel first, and then check in, and then figure out where we're gonna have dinner.
Yep.
See who's around. I did put a post on Instagram letting people know we were on our way down and we get there around dinner time. So asking, so where's dinner at?
No one invites us. We'll eat by ourselves. And we'll get really drunk out of spite.
No, we'll make it to
the pit. Arrive at the pit.
It'll be crazy. Fighting people. Hey. Kicking. Hey. No one sent us a message.
No one wants to eat with us.
No, but it's, I'm excited to go down. It'll be fun. It's funny, I don't know, so tomorrow when we'll be actually, you know, attending the actual Blade Show event, it's like 9 to 6 or something, and I know there are tons of booths and things to look at, but I still am like, what do you do for that many hours, you know, like 8 hours in one convention? But I think, you know, for one, it'll just be, it's like so much stuff to see. But I think that's going to take up a lot of the time.
I think.
But also people to talk to.
Much like Maker Camp. You can't make it from one side of the camp to the other without stopping and talking to somebody.
Right, right.
So I feel like there'll be some of that.
I know, yeah. Before we know it, it'll be like 4 o'clock. The day will be done.
We need to shoot something. We need to get a knife.
I figured if nothing else, we can just get some like footage of Blade Show and people and stuff, and then just do like a video recap with a little voiceover, like we did the first year at Maker Camp. But
yeah,
yeah.
But also the thing is, I don't want to shoot like everything.
Right.
Which, to get a good recap, you should shoot most things.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm thinking. If we just have a simple thing, even if it's a 5-10 minute video.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm going to buy my first expensive knife, or I want to buy...
Yeah, like what...
Or
what,
I never buy knives.
What do I buy?
I never buy knives. Can I find one I actually want to buy? Or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, just maybe shoot an intro or something like that in the morning.
Right.
Say, hey guys, we're here. Let's see what we can find. And then I'll just shoot general stuff. Shoot you using some of the stuff. I don't know if we'll shoot you talking to people.
Right.
Maybe, because then we have to mic them up. We could.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to work, though. So. You know, I mean, I know we're, like, coming down to see people, but, like... You know, it's the first blade. I want to just experience it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like when we're doing stuff, then it's like we're always thinking about what the video is going to be. And that's obviously part of what we're doing. Like, that's the channel. That's why we're coming down here. But I just, you know, I want to enjoy myself. And if I'm always thinking about what we're going to video.
It's only going to be from... We only need to shoot for a couple hours. I mean, you could knock it out before lunch.
I could. But
you,
I don't want
to. Well, you don't have to talk to people. You don't have to interview people.
Right.
You're just walking around looking at stuff.
Right.
I'm the one working.
Yeah, I know. Well, you want to. I don't want to.
Well, I'm just saying, you're talking about not knowing what you're going to do all day.
Right.
There you go.
We're That's making not a video. What I want to not have to do until, no, yeah. I know. And, yeah, I think, like I said, there's definitely... something there to shoot and get and make a video of, because it's
and we're
important and people want to see it.
We're not vlogging.
Perspective. Right.
We're not getting in people's faces and doing a bunch of crazy stuff.
Right.
And we're not taking cameras to the pit or any restaurants or any dinners.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. But I think
it's better to come up with an idea than just to do it full, like, shoot at random.
Right.
Because it's just harder to edit and, like, it's so, when it's too broad, just, you know, it's just not focused enough.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I edit? Do I put some music over it and then a little talk over it a bit and then montage it?
Yeah.
Like, if it's you looking for cool stuff, you say that in the beginning.
Right.
Then we see you at walking around, and we see you talking to people, and we see you at 4 different tables.
Right. And yeah, maybe that's the thing.
And you pick one at the end.
Yeah.
You say the prices, you say your price range. It's like a little search video. Like,
right.
Can he find it? And then we end it, or maybe start it.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's like, what do you buy at Blade Show? You know, because I also want to look for cool handle material and maybe like cool blade steel and, you know, things like that. So maybe that's part of it. Is like, what things did we buy? Maybe it's, I mean, like, maybe it's a knife, maybe it's a, you know, several things. I don't know.
We'll just get like a rhythm down how we want to do it. So we're not having to set shots up.
Right.
If I see you looking at something, we're just walking and talking, I'll shoot some of you looking at it.
Right.
If you like it, give me a nod, I'll come in on a close up.
Right.
And then you only have to really talk about it if you want to at the end when you make your decision or whatever you're going to buy for it.
Right.
So you don't have to keep going like, I like this because it's this and this and this in front of everyone.
Right.
Like, you can just be there.
It's just, you just get the information.
And then we only have to shoot for a minute every 30 minutes or an hour, you know, just to,
just to capture looking at the different knives. I like that. Yeah, that's fine. You know, because it's definitely going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of the similar type of knives, I would think, you know, but that's okay. You know, kind of focus on the different knife makers that make the type of knife that I would want to buy, you know, which is cool.
You can become a flipper. One of those knives called?
Balisong.
Balisong. You'd be a Balisong, bro.
Butterfly knife. I saw the Blade Show. It was like, Blade Show posted a little video from a balcony looking down on the bar, and it was like four people just... Like, two people at the bar flipping knives and, like, three or four people out, like, on a table flipping knives, just sitting there flipping their balisongs. I have two of my students have practice butterfly knives. So it's like, you know, it's all the normal thing. It's the butterfly knife, but the blade just is not sharp. It doesn't have a point. Just like a, just a blade blank to practice. It's funny. They like bring it to school and flip it around. I'm like, what are you doing? Put that away. It's like a fake knife. You can't bring any knife-like objects to school.
Right.
Although, like, every day I carry my Leatherman, my skeletal in my pocket.
Yeah, but you're a teacher.
Yeah, yeah. You teach. I'm an architecture teacher, and I use it literally every day.
Right. Yeah, that's so, definitely an interesting part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That'd be kind of cool. I'm excited to see that, see how, like, crazy some of those people can do. And there's also, like, I know there's a bunch of classes and stuff that you have to pay for, but there's also a bunch of talks that are free throughout the day. So that'd be kind of cool to, you know, see who's talking. I know Matt Stagmer is doing some stuff. We had the opportunity to go out to Chris Cash's place out in Western Maryland, around the, you know, Frederick area, a couple weekends ago, and hung out with Chris and Matt and Ilya. All the guys from That Works, which is cool, and some other people who are, you know, locals. Noah from Smiling Wolf Workshop. Smiling Wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah, people around. Was it Tiny Town Forge came down?
Oh, yeah.
This is, what's his name?
I think he'll be at Blade, too.
Oh, yeah. His, a couple buddies of his, and yeah, so that'd be cool. And I know Mareko will be there. Mareko Mamasi will be there. Len Ray.
Yeah, all types of
and
big
so many, games. Like, yeah, so many Mastersmiths will be there. Yeah. And also, like, a bunch of people who I know through, like, the axe community as well. Like, I know Taylor Putnam will be there. He's a big axe guy, and he and I have chatted before. And a bunch of, you know, knife makers that we know. So I think there will be a lot of people who recognize me, who I don't know their faces, but I know their knives, and I know their brand, and I know their social media. So I'm like, hey.
Or a lot of people, you'll recognize their,
yeah,
their knives.
Right.
Their stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll definitely recognize people's knives. So you're like, oh, there's whatever. I'll be pointing out people out to you.
Yeah, a lot of people don't share their faces much.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tricky to, worse. Not only could I normally remember names.
Right.
I'm just not engaged as you are. So, yeah, you'll have to be mine.
Yeah.
This is blah, blah, blah.
And that's the thing. Like, at Maker Camp, it's a lot of people who are online makers. So it's a lot of YouTubers and social media people who show themselves making things, right? Yeah. That's a lot of the content. So, but the knife makers show their knives,
right.
You know, so you don't, and a lot of them just do, you know, social media and just showing their knives, so they're not showing a ton of themselves all the time, so you don't necessarily know what they look like. So being at a place like Blade Show, where the number of knife makers on YouTube, which has grown in the last 6 or 7 years significantly, is still pretty small. So I think that'll be a small community within the larger community of knife makers, where the majority of the, whatever, 5,000 people or 10,000 people that'll be there.
I think it's like 100,000 people.
Dang, that's crazy.
Over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's insane. Because the thing, like, Maker Camp is like 700, I think, was the max last year.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
700, not 700,000, just 700. And that was like throughout.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM, and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
On the weekend, you know, it's probably more like 500 most days. So.
I hope they have good security there. Because the amount of money on tables and in people's pockets and cash and backpacks, like, it's a little sketchy. Like, at first I was thinking, I don't know if I want to have my camera in this backpack thing and do all the, you know, all our gear in it. But it's like everyone's got expensive stuff.
Right.
So hopefully there's good.
And there's a lot of exchange at Blade Show. Millions of dollars.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. And just like what you have there, because Mastersmiths, you know, their knives are, they don't sell for under $1,000. Some of them won't even sell for under like $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because once you get to that point, you can go up to that next level of what you sell your knives for.
Right.
So, you know, you might have like, you get like these tables with Mastersmiths where they're, you know, like Niels Vanderberg, who's going to be there, his daggers are selling for like $15,000 a piece.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So there's going to be a lot of commerce.
A lot of money. A lot of video equipment.
Yeah.
A lot of people shooting stuff.
Yeah. So, and I was hesitant to bring a backpack or a bag just because I don't really want to have to carry it all day, you know, like, but I do want to be able to buy stuff, and I don't want to have to carry around a bag.
Right.
So I want to be able to like toss it into the backpack and have it there on me. And so I actually packed up my sailing bag, which is kind of nice because it has like a sternum strap and it's pretty low profile. It sits flat against my back, and had that packed away. And then I saw I have a messenger bag that my father-in-law gave to our family. And my wife has been using it for school, so she'll like bring the laptop and stuff there, but she's done for the semester, so I just like took that bag. So that's kind of nice because that'll sit really flat against my back, nice and low profile, and black, always good.
I have a big camera backpack bag.
And you got a new one, right?
I did.
Yeah, I saw you have the Maker Switch sticker on there.
I
used one of our stickers.
I know. I was like last time, I was like, should I? I was like, I want
it. Hopefully it stays. It looks like it will, though. But yeah, so we have like a grand total of like 27 stickers to give away. I thought about it. Like, you know, because we were so late to getting tickets this year, I was like, once we bought tickets, I was like, can I get, you know, I probably could. But then I like didn't do it right away. And I also think I want to get, you know, for AOC stickers, I want to get like a next size down for the ovals.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the Maker Switch sticker, make them a little smaller or whatever, and then get a bunch. So we'll, you know, we'll have more obviously for Maker Camp. And I just got to order some more and maybe get a new design. It's kind of fun to do something else. But seeing all these people like packing up stickers and like Maritime Knife Supply, he's got some cool stickers and koozies that he's giving away.
He'll have some good swag.
Like he said he has like 250. If you see him, it's like a little swag pack, which is like a koozie, a sticker, and a 10% off coupon for Maritime Knife Supply. Nice. So if you see Lawrence, we got to snag some koozies. That's what I like to get. I have a lot of koozies at home, but I like them. Brian House, he's got really cool t-shirt design. And he's got a handful to give away to people in the pit. So see if I can snag one from him. If his house full of knife makers hasn't taken them all already. But that would be fun. I'm excited. So yeah, there'll be a lot of cool things to get. A lot of cool giveaways, I think. So fill up that backpack and it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we'll see nothing today on Friday.
Right. Yeah, we'll be
other than the pit, which will be fun.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm really looking for, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Having beers with people.
Right. Because then tonight, you know, we can hopefully meet a lot of people and just have the time to, like, talk and stuff. And then tomorrow won't be so much of like having to make sure we talk to everybody, right. You know, like we already have, you know, some introductions out of the way and say, hey, whatever. Then when we see people at tables and stuff, you know, so that'd be cool.
Do you want to talk about the new video, even though you haven't watched it yet?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we have the wooden sword video coming out, which discussing titles and thumbnails and stuff, which is always like a struggle back and forth between how clickbaity do you make it and how true to what it is do you make it, and you know, the balancing integrity with business mindset. It's like,
I mean, we're never gonna make them crazy like some people do. It's just too tacky. I just don't like it.
Right.
But
like I said, as long as you're like saying in the title,
we want to give as much information about what you're going to watch. Clearly, not lie about anything. Make it seem interesting. I mean, our biggest videos have the simplest titles as well.
Right.
But things are changing.
That was also a couple years ago.
Things are changing, so we want to keep trying to get views. And if it's just the title isn't what matters in the end.
Right.
As long as we're not embarrassed by it.
Right.
So
that's out. That's really good. I was excited to make that because I've been making wooden swords for a bunch of years now and have found an easy way that I think, a really easy way to make a sword. And, you know, when I'm making them for kids and friends and stuff, they really don't take me very long at all. I mean, it's, you know, just kind of profiling a piece of wood that is the right thickness to the shape of the sword and the handle. So I kind of figure out like what I want the blade shape to be, how long, and then the general dimensions of the handle plus the pommel. So that's all cut out of the first piece of wood. And then I like figure that out and, you know, grind in the bevels while it's still like that, and then I put on the guard. And so that's just like taking a block of wood and drawing the middle of it and making lines, scribing out where the space for the blade tang, and I leave that space on the blade rectangular, so it's not like I'm trying to fit a diamond shaped blade into the wood. And so I instead of like trying to drill out that hole like you would with a metal guard, I cut the whole guard piece of wood in half vertically, and then I use the bandsaw and cut out half of that rectangle on either side, and then just super glue it back together once it fits.
Yeah, I was surprised with you using super glue and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's it. That's why it's easy. It's like, boop, boop, glue it together. And then And then I think what makes them even cooler is the leather wrapped handle, right? And so it's, you just, like, I've used leather, I've used string before. Any, whatever it is, you need to wrap something around the handle, just that way you get that difference. So I, you know, cut some leather into strips and wrap the handle, and you get this cool, like, leather handle wooden sword, which, and, you know, with this one specifically, I went through the History of Medieval Longswords by Ewart Oakeshott, and found, kind of went through, and I used, you know, I just, like, bookmarked a bunch of pages that had sword, like, long swords that I liked, you know, the styles that I liked. If I were in medieval times, the sword that I think I would want. And so I kind of took all those different things and kind of narrowed it down to two different types. And Ewart Oakeshott has all the different types of swords over the years, and they're all Roman numeraled. So the two that I use is a type 13 and a type 18. And they're both what's called, you know, hand and a half swords. So they have a long taper. They're relatively long, so anywhere between like a 30 and a 36 inch blade. And then, you know, a handle that's long enough that you can wield the sword with one hand, or you can use a second hand below it. So I like the one or two, you know, sword handle. So I kind of combined those two things and designed it and cut it all out, put it together. And the really cool thing is that I had a piece of black walnut that was, it's probably like 2 inches or like 2 1/4 inches by 3 inches by 60 inches long or something like that. So I cut the sword and handle down from that. And so I think my overall length, I think my sword blade is 34 inches and the guard and handle are like another 9. So it's about 44, 45 inches. I had enough to cut off the end. Or no, I guess, yeah, so I cut that, and then I ripped that in two, so I had basically, like, two sword blanks. So I took one of them, and I used that one for my sword, and I trimmed off the guard length, which I think was, like, 7 inches for the guard. So I had a chunk ready for the guard, and then the chunk for the blade. So it was fun. So, you know, I get this really dark sword, which I like, is cool, and wrap the leather handle around, and then kind of oiled everything at the end, and it was all the same tone, like brown, the same dark brown all the way.
Yeah.
So after the video, I actually went back down like the next night and took my my dark brown dye and went over the leather again a couple times, although it didn't really take it that much darker. Once it dried, it kind of went back, so I may even go back and just use like black dye and go over it and dye it all the way black, because I want that handle to be darker. But it looks super cool. I really like it. And I like the fuller. So I ground in a fuller on both sides while the blade was still a rectangle before I took it to the bandsaw to cut the tapers, or, you know, to cut the blade taper. So used my small wheel attachment on the 2x72 and just dragged it straight down and grounded the bevels.
Yeah, you were trying fuller. You were trying to get a tool rest or whatever.
Yeah.
So you could do it. Exactly, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah, and then so I ended up using the one. I used like just a part of the tool rest, like was able to rest it on that.
Every once in a while I get in an editing situation where you say you're going to do something, and then the next bit, it doesn't,
yeah, right.
Because we, off camera, you went like, oh, that's not going to fit, blah, 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 blah. So I had to creatively cut that
figure
out
where
you said, I'm going to use the rest. And again, Video Makers and Friends, that's where you hide in like an insert shot or something. Where Dustin's talking about what he's going to do, and then I switch to an insert shot of the thing he's holding, and then you jump back out to him wrapping up what he was saying, just with that chunk cut out that says,
oh, right.
I'm going to go over to this and cut that out.
Yeah, right.
And then this, you know, so it's just, it seems like a straight sentence.
Ah.
There's your insert shot cover.
Insert shot cover. You're welcome.
You never knew, he said. And we go over and use the rest.
Yeah. Well, it's because I thought I could have. The reason why I couldn't use the tool rest and the small wheel attachment is because the small wheel attachment sticks out really far, like further than a normal platen, because of how the, you know, the belt has to come out. And so I wasn't able to use the tool rest out of that same distance further out than the small wheel attachment was sticking out. So I did end up using the tool rest. I just used the you know, the part that comes out from the body and not the actual rest, just the square bar.
Okay.
And rested on that and kind of tipped it underneath and was able to do it and get a pretty consistent consistent fullers on both sides. And then, yeah, cut the blade shape, ground the bevels, which is always kind of fun. And, you know, my experience of grinding bevels on metal makes grinding bevels on wood really easy. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, this is nothing. It's going to take me like 5 minutes. It's all gone. You know, using a 36 grit belt just like tears through the wood. So it's nice and easy. And, you know, it actually almost a little too easy sometimes. Like I get a little overzealous and I go further than I thought. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I had to like, you know, go fast, but then like slow down. So that way, you know, it's a different mindset. It's like, by the end, I'm trying to go slow just to like inch up on it, because if I push any harder, it just like takes a big nick away, and then my bevel lines are all messed up. That's fun. It's really fun. And I've been I had told Corinne that I would make her a new sword that's longer than the one that she's had since, you know, I started making swords for her. And I was going to use the blank that I got out of the piece of walnut, the two pieces. So I used that, but that had the piece from my guard on my sword cut out of it. So it was already shorter. So I think her blade ended up being about 28 and a half inches plus the handle, plus a guard, which I actually made her like a really nice guard. And the fullers on her blade were like, turned out really good. And so her sword is, it's like I had one under my belt and then I made another one for her and it turned out even better. It was really cool. I used a different type of wood for her guard. So the guard is like light wood, like pine. And so it kind of stands out, which is cool.
You should do some experimenting with printing out a 3D, you know, print out a 3D printer guard, like real fancy.
Because
all you got to do is make the rectangle the right space.
Right.
And then slide it on and have a really like...
That's a good idea.
You know, you could... fantasy or whatever crazy thing that you necessarily couldn't do out of wood,
right? Yeah, or not easily. Yeah, right. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
like the guard from the guard from like
Zelda.
Yeah, that
the crazy master sword.
Yeah, right. Or you know, like Lord of the Rings guards and stuff.
Right, right.
The sword that was reforged.
You can print it in black.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You can do that silver color or paint it, sand it.
Yeah, sand and paint. And then the nice thing about, you know, with 3D printing, you can...
Sorry, folks.
You can print with, you know, a hollow inside or like a different amount of, what's it called, infill. It's a grid pattern. So you can do that. Or I can just print it solid. You know, like no infill, just a solid print. It takes a lot longer and uses more material, but then it would be a solid. Yeah, that'd be cool, because then I could do like a guard and a pommel, because those are the things that are more detailed. You know, the blade and all, is just whip that out. And then, you know, I could also, if I'm making a sword for somebody, for a cosplay or whatever, you know, I could have them tell me what they want. Like, what do you want on your pommel? What do you want on your guard? Like, what details do you want? And then they can, you know, I can design something or whatever that would be pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Something that would be a lot harder to make. But if I'm just having it 3D printed, then it's no big deal, right? Just, like, do it. So, speaking of 3D printing, I have, at my school, we have Ultimakers, which I've been using off and on for a bunch of my students' work, and then some things for myself as well. But I have a MakerBot in my classroom that I haven't gotten set up yet or really become familiar with, so I think I might bring it home for the summer.
Ooh, nice.
And print out some stuff and get familiar with it. That way when I go back in the fall to school, I'll have it kind of ready to go. So if I do that, which I think I'm going to, then I'll have that over the summer. So kind of a fun thing.
Try some stuff.
Yeah. And that's, you know, again, like if I had made, you know, put a lot of time or whatever, put time into making the sword, the wooden swords are nice because then if they break, it don't take long. So you just make another one.
Right.
But that way, like, then I could always pull that guard off and use it for another sword, right? If the guard was cool looking.
So yeah.
Use the same
if
guard.
If you can get it off, you could probably pop it off.
Yeah, right. It depends. I could, you know, depending on how I put it in, right? If I had it slide in, then I could slide it off or whatever. Yeah. But yeah. So that's out, which is cool. And hopefully get a lot of people watching that as well. It's always a little tricky to put things out before you go to a big event, because a lot of people who are at these events are the people who watch the videos. So we'll see if we get
all 100,000.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I was listening to the Making It podcast earlier this week, and Jimmy has been talking over the last couple weeks about titles and thumbnails, and he has a buddy who he calls like the thumbnail guru. And so he's been working with Jimmy on like what he, you know, his thumbnails and his titles and stuff, and it's done really good for him. Like his channel is doing like 20 times better than it has done over the last 2 years. And so just this week, Bob Claggett from I Like to Make Stuff talked about, they had finished up a video, and he was like, and Jimmy had given him this guy's number, so he was like, let me send him a text, you know, maybe talk to him for a little bit and see what his suggestions are. And so he did, and he said they ended up using some of the suggestions and not using other suggestions. But this video that he did it's like done, you know, 10 times better than their standard videos for the last 2 years. I know, he's like, who is this guy? And they're like, I don't want to say too much about him because we don't want him to, like, everyone blowing him up in the DMs. I know, like, hey, heard about you. He needs to start, like, you know, consulting fee, like YouTube consulting.
Yeah, no, if you can, I'm a bit hesitant to take one person's advice.
Right.
Because anyone can tell you what to do when they're doing well.
Right.
And whether that's because of what they're doing or because of whatever the algorithm's pushing them is up in the air.
Right.
Like, hey, I did this and it worked for me. But if there's someone who is giving suggestions to multiple people
and it's working
in different styles, then they must have, they just haven't kind of figured out for now.
Yeah, they have a good idea of, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and it's so hard to know what to do. It's because it's so finicky, you know, and YouTube's always changing and the algorithm's always changing. And so, you know, partly we want to just keep sticking with what you do and what has worked for you. But then if it's not like working great anymore, then you got to change, which is fine. But you don't want to like change so much that then you're just following trends. You know, so
right, yeah, you don't want to chase it. But so, you know, any gurus out there?
Yeah, anybody wants to,
you know, DM,
send us some messages. We always appreciate
our views up.
I don't know anything else. I know we're excited. I think about maybe on our way back up on Sunday. So we're going down today. We'll be there today and tomorrow, tonight through tomorrow night, and then we'll be leaving Sunday morning to come back up to Baltimore, do the drive again. So maybe on the way back we'll record next week's podcast and talk about our experience. We'll see. You know, got some time to kill.
I feel like I'll have too much fun on Saturday night to want a podcast in the morning.
Well, we don't have to podcast in the morning. We can podcast in the evening because we'll still be driving. Yeah, we do like 11-hour drive.
Maybe so. I'll be recovered by then.
Yeah. you'll be driving, so you, hopefully.
I'm not driving.
Oh, it's coming back. You're driving. You're not going to Baker Camp, so.
So I got to drive sometime?
That's right.
You're not having fun, so you have to drive now.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going.
No, but yeah, so went back up and then... whether we do the podcast on the way home or whether it's next week, I'm sure we'll do some wrap up and tell you guys all the fun stuff that we did and
or how lame it was.
Well, yeah, right.
Kind of sucks. Never again.
Although, like, I have heard people's experiences about, you know, Blade Show 2 or 3 years ago, and it was right after COVID. And, or, you know, the year when it first came back, it was, like, kind of smaller and kind of, you know. So
each year
it's kind of building back up to its previous greatness. So I think there's going to be a lot of people there this year. So
we arrive and complete.
Yes, its now, greatness. Now it has come
fully arrived.
Fully arrived. The O'Hara brothers have arrived, That is one thing about being like two, you know, tall, big guys that look really similar in one channel. It's like we stand out. So it's fun to be like, hey, there's the Ohara Brothers again, which is like what we've been known as our entire lives, the four of us. So yeah, it stays.
We'll be there.
Yep. Cool. All right. Anything else? Good?
All right. Before you do it, or let's wrap it up with like, what do we think it's going to be, or what's up? What do you think is going to be cool, and what do you think is going to be lame? So what's your positive and negatives? What do you think is going to be going in?
So let's see, things I'm excited about. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really...
And then we can compare them.
Okay.
We'll compare them next week.
Right.
Or next pod. Like, what we thought would be cool and what would be not so cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know. Like, I haven't really looked at the itinerary. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be interesting. Like, I'm excited to see a schedule of who might be talking. And then maybe see someone talk who I, you know, who I follow.
Sorry.
Talk about whatever. So, that, I think... That might be interesting.
I don't know if we'll even have time.
Yeah, maybe not. But, you know, that's one of the things I'm excited to look for. I think that, you know, the pit, from what I've heard, will be really cool. You know, like, after hours, everyone hanging out, talking and drinking. And, you know, that's what we love at Maker Camp, too. Like, that's a blast. So, I would be surprised if that wasn't pretty fun. And then, you know, for me... Because I've been into knives for so long, like, I'm really excited to see work. Like, I'm excited to meet people, but I'm really excited to, like, see the work in person that I've really enjoyed over the years.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things I'm really excited about is to see Lynn Ray's work. I want to see, like, his X-ray knives. And he's going to be there, and he makes some really cool Bowie knives and some cool... And his X-ray knife, which is just it's the blacksmith knife that he designed, and it's... You know, hearing him talk about it and watching him make him over the years, they just are one like knives that I'm super excited about. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about, seeing some other master bladesmiths work and just to see the level of craftsmanship, I guess.
Maybe hold some of it.
Yeah, hold. I feel like
unless they're the huge ones, right, or $10,000 and you ask nicely, the people...
I mean, they want you to buy things, right? That's the whole point, that they're there most of the time, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you always ask first. Right. And, you know, if you don't have to hold it, you just look at it. But as a knife maker, I want to look at, like, fit and finish. You know, I'm excited to see other people's, like, how, you know, clean they get their, you know, all their final fit and finish. So everything, the tightness of all the scales, the, you know, lack of scratches and stuff and symmetry. Those are the things I'm interested in seeing other knife makers, because like you see pictures on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot, and everyone has the ability to kind of hide those little mistakes and stuff, you know, if they need to. But there's, you know, there's also like a level of professionalism that people expect when you're buying a custom knife, and so I'm kind of excited to look at other people's knives to see how I compare, because I've only ever held like one other custom maker's knife, or a couple, because, you know, at Maker Camp there's always a handful, you know, so you see them. You know, more like monosteel things, because, you know, Damascus is cool, but it also, you don't have to finish Damascus as nicely as you finish monosteel, because there's a pattern there. Right. You know, you finish it up to like 400 grit, and then you polish it and etch it, you know, so you get all the stuff. But I mean, I know there's a lot of work that goes to that. But so seeing some of that good stuff, like cool pattern steel, will be interested to look at, but like, you know, compare, you know, myself as a knife maker to other knife makers. Or, you know, compare the work, right? Because there's definitely a...
yourself personally.
There's a level of finish that I aim for when I'm making a knife for myself.
Yeah.
That I'm sure is different than if I was making it for
a
client or a customer who I didn't know. You know? So there's also, I mean, I guess when I do the sheep shear knives is kind of an example of that, that I'm making those knives to sell.
You should have brought one sheep shear.
I know, I thought about it, but cool. I don't have like a sheath for it, so I have to make a cardboard sheath or something, or or maybe I could have made a quick Kydex sheath, but those are cool. One of the second one of the two that we made for the sheep shear video, we started using in our kitchen. I was going to give it to somebody, but it didn't end up happening, so. But, yeah, and then, I don't know, Lowe's. Well, so I'm excited to meet and talk to a lot of people, but I also want to just enjoy looking at knives. And so, you know, I don't want to get bogged down too much by talking to people, you know. But that's why I'm excited to do, like, the pit tonight, you know, because that's what that's for, you know. Yeah. And then that way we've already hopefully, like, seen a lot of people who I want to talk to, because there are a lot of people who I do want to say hi to and talk to. And I want to say hi to talk to people, like viewers of the channel and stuff, and, you know, say thank you and whatever, and get to see some faces, put faces and names. But I also want to have some time to just enjoy walking around as a knife enthusiast myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I don't know if I would call that a low, but that's something I want to make sure.
You don't want to work.
Yeah. Well, it's not that, it's more like,
I don't think it'll be that. I mean, there's many people there.
Yeah, everyone's there to, like, to do that as well. Everyone wants to see all the cool knives as well as see the people and hang out. So,
Yeah,
I think that's it. I mean, those are mostly pros. I don't really have anything that I think is like a.
Well, yeah, you're not gonna come in too negative.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty positive
person. So.
That's my thing that. What I was worried about was I wouldn't be interested in that many knives.
Right.
Like every little folder, every little difference, like it's not as interesting to me. So would it hold my interest all day? But hopefully shooting a little bit, talking to a lot of people.
Right.
I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we after 2 hours in the morning or 3 hours, we're like, cool. We see some people, we walked around. We can go back, have lunch.
Right.
And then come back for 3 more hours.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to stay there from open to close.
If right.
Want to. And then, the pit and whatever else, and just being with a lot of people, that's going to be fun no matter what.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you and I could sit down at the table and have fun with some beers.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun no matter what.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, we're definitely not shy. So, right. You know, hanging out with people, talking, chatting, like laughing it up. It'll be fun. I'm excited. And there will be a decent amount of people there that were at Maker Camp. So that'd be kind of cool to see some people again, you know. So it'll be fun. I'm excited. And I'm also excited to, like, see people who I didn't know were going to be there, you know, be like, oh, holy crap, there's this person, you know, like, right. I would imagine that, the hand engraver.
I don't know if they'll, but I feel like people would say they would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a big thing that he does, and he's not too far from there. I think he's in Florida, so maybe he is down, but.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, Roy didn't talk about driving up with him, so I don't know. I'm excited to, like, see people who I wasn't expecting, you know, to be surprised, to be like, oh, nice. Because that's the thing. I mean, already just this week, I've seen people post about going to Blade Show or being like, you know, I'm going to have this at Blade. Come see me at table blah, 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 or booth, whatever. And I'm like, oh, cool, they're going to be there. You know, it's like everyone is going to be there because Blade Show Atlanta is the preeminent Blade, you know, conference that happens each year. And now there's like Blade Show Texas and Blade Show West, you know, out on the West Coast, and they're expanding, but Atlanta's like, that was the original. So that's the one everyone goes to.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool. You know, and all these knife makers, so, you know, they work in their shops alone. You know, it's a very like solo job. You know, and like lots of little detail, lots of time, and so they get this couple chances to get out. A lot of these older guys who, you know, have been in the game for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, you know, this is their only chance to ever meet people in the in business. It was like during, you know, shows and conventions and stuff. So they got in the habit of going because that's when you would be able to show people your work. Other than that, it was like you might have it in a magazine, you know. That's a Blade magazine. That's where Blade Show came from, you know. So, and now with social media, we have such an opportunity. Like, everyone's able to see what you do and put it out there. And that's a huge part of the knife-making business now, is that free advertisement. So it's a different ball game, but it's still people want to go and see people and hang out, you know, get out of their shops and chat with people. So,
yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I didn't think about recommendations. Do you have any recommendations?
No, I didn't either. This is a slightly different pod.
Exactly.
I got the, like I said, I got the laptop on my lap with the, our stuff open and our mics plugged into the thing. So hopefully it sounded okay. Sorry if it was a little weird, but
yeah, it should be fine.
We did what we could.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I've listened to other people's podcasts that's like a little abnormal, but you know, it's part of the great thing about podcasting is that it's just, it's, you know, a little snippet even deeper into like who we are in our lives. So, you know, if one of them is a little funky because we're out doing something, but that's just part of what it is.
Funny thing is, we probably could have recorded with the iPhone or the other phone. It probably would have been clear because phones are used to canceling out weird noises. Like, a lot of times when you talk to people on the phone, you barely can hear the road at all.
Right.
So,
oh well. No, that's all right. This made it easy.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, we will hopefully see a lot of you at Blade Show. And if you haven't already listened to this, if you have listened to it and you're going to see us, let us know that you listened to the podcast and let us know about the road noise, if it was bad or if it was okay.
And don't talk to Dustin. Does not want to be bothered. So do not walk up to him. Don't look him in the eye when you pass him.
Of Devin shooing people away from me.
Hey,
shoo.
Don't talk to the talent.
Get out of here, you.
Move along, riffraff. Hey, and we ended right at Virginia Tech.
Hey, all right.
My wife's alma mater.
Alma mater, Christenburg, Blacksburg. All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you head over to Instagram and you can check out Devin and I, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And I'm sure we'll be posting some stuff throughout the event. So everybody, what's going on, and make everyone who's not there jealous like we were last year. And you can also head over to YouTube and check out our new video, The Wooden Sword, which just came up. It's about a 15-minute video, so it should be fun, really fun to make, and I'm excited to see how people like it. And if you want to make a wooden sword and take pictures and tag us in it, we'd love to see it. And the next video, I think, is going to be making the sword frog, which is like a sheath to hold. Technically, a frog is to hold a sword scabbard on your belt, but I'm going to make it as like the short sword sheath for the wooden sword. So that'll be another kind of quicker video because it's going to be some leather work making the frog to go along with my sword. So when I go to the Renaissance Festival this year, I'll have something nice to go with my costume. All right. Sorry, we don't have any recommendations this week, but you know, recommended is to see who's at Blade Show and try to maybe follow the Blade Show tag on Instagram, and that way you'll be able to see who's there and get to know some new knife makers, because there's a lot of really cool makers in the world who I don't know, people don't know, but even like someone like Michael West, who's an awesome knife maker from, I think it's the Netherlands. You know, I learned about him recently, and he does some really beautiful work. Some of like the most kind of new, different, you know, things that I've seen in knife making, and I'm excited to see him there. So, you know, I already recommended him like a week or two ago when we talked to Dennis Tyrell. But check out the Blade Show tag and follow along, and see you guys all next week for another episode. Thank you guys all so much for listening. It's been a blast. From the mobile studios, AOC, driving down the Blade Show. Thank you guys again, and we will talk to you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.